Well, Curtis, if the air is unhealthy outside, I may stay inside and sourdough and chill today because we should check the Window World of Boston weather window, find out about the pollution. Curtis, what are we looking at?
Close that. The air is unhealthy for sensitive groups. Air quality index 121, which is worse than yesterday at this time. They said it was going to be better. They lied. So it's gross out there. It's about 73 and cloudy with a thick haze from our Canadian friends. Afternoon high, a little less than 80. Sunset, 7:57.
Okay. You could get a whole house full of windows installed for just $99 a month from Window World of Boston. Go to windowworldofboston.com. Would you like the angry Red Sox text of the morning, Curtis?
Why are you angry?
617 text that says, Red Sox are undefeated since the deadline, but you morons keep talking about Craig Breslow and what he did at the deadline. I don't know that we keep talking about that. We have discussed it from time to time.
Good morning.
We have discussed it from time to time over the last couple of days.
He looks maybe he looks like in this position right now because of the way Giolito and Bale's pitching, that he made the, not necessarily he made the right move, but there weren't deals out there that he could get done.
Yeah, I've seen the building of the fall guy, and that is going to be Breslow if and when the team falls off, because Carrabis has been saying that there were people in the building miffed at his indecisiveness. And I would also just say, like, I don't know if anybody believes this. According to Bradford, you had Theo Epstein, you had Alex Cora, Sam Kennedy, John Henry, Gordon, everybody in the room on the trade deadline day. And according to most of the reporting, the offer to the Twins for Joe Ryan came very late.
Yeah.
Why, if you're John Henry, or if you're Sam Kennedy, who we could ask Thursday at 9, or you're anybody in that room, you have the ability to say, hey, call the Twins, give them this offer, let them know that we're here, and if they get a better one, to give us a call, and we'll try and sweeten it.
It sounds to me like it was your typical negotiation tactic where you're waiting until the end so that you are going to hopefully get the best deal for yourself. But I agree with you.
But Joe Ryan, Greg, I understand that the Twins are having a fire sale, but Joe Ryan isn't one that they are saving money on. He only has $3 million coming his way.
Right.
So it's not like in the last minute they're like, oh, no, we have to offload this guy. Otherwise, we're set with the bill.
Yeah, I mean, the reporting or the whispering is that by the time the Red Sox got around to taking it seriously, the Twins had already moved. They were making so many other moves that
that's
they were
cap.
Already.
What? I don't buy that. Because if you really are willing to move on from Joe Ryan, if you're Minnesota, and a good enough deal comes in, whether it's at the 11th hour or if it's a week before, you take the deal.
So then what happened in your mind?
I think that the deal that Breslow offered wasn't good enough for the Twins.
But that's when you have negotiations. And I think that's what's frustrating to people, is that for Craig Breslow to come on the show and say everything was on the table. We put guys on the table that we said we were never going to.
We got uncomfortable.
So if that's the case.
But do you 100% believe that?
Well, so what's he lying about?
I think that there were guys that were on the table, but for a certain price, right?
And he wasn't willing to part. Price, not what it's going to cost you. Prospect price, he wasn't willing to do that.
Yeah, whether it's prospects, whether it's current guys on the current roster, I don't know, maybe he says to Minnesota, okay, we'll give you these prospects, A, B, and C, and they're like, oh, we want those, plus we need you to throw in Durant.
It was feeble because it came late and it didn't have what they wanted. That's why Ken Rosenthal called it feeble. And I just want to ask everybody.
Well, then that's my thing. It's really you didn't give them what they wanted.
Does anybody believe that Craig Breslow was operating the war room at the trade deadline and it was up to him and him alone what they could and couldn't do?
No.
Does anybody believe that if John Henry, Theo Epstein, Sam Kennedy, or Alex Cora said, we need to make a deal, figure it out, that he would have had to figure it out.
Yes.
So then why does anybody waste a second on Craig Breslow? He is just the figurehead. He was the 10th guy to interview for the job. Why do we allow these, like, they've already started it. Carrabba's talking about how people in the building, and I believe him completely.
Yeah.
Completely in the, people in the building were very frustrated by how rigid he was. Like, okay.
Well, they can't be frustrated if they were all there at decision time.
Right.
And they weren't telling him, you got to do it.
I got calls on Saturday with Ken where people were like, well, I mean, Breslow didn't want to make the deal. I'm like, Alex Cora makes three times what Breslow makes. John Henry owns everything. Like, are you really telling me that Craig Breslow was the one who was in charge?
But he's the one finding all the traits. So it's
not
John
all in
Henry,
the room.
Alex Cora. Yeah, exactly. But if Craig Breslow doesn't get an actual trade offer on the board, then he has nothing to propose to them for them to tell him to accept it.
Well, my guess is that John Henry says, we need to get X player, figure out what the deal needs to happen, and let's execute it.
But there may be something, I think I heard you guys talking about it Saturday, there may be something to the suggestion that the teams don't like dealing with the Red Sox and haven't for quite some time.
Right.
Because was that you guys talking about that?
There's a lot of people out there that believe that they are being spun for PR purposes when the Red Sox are, quote, in on something, when the reality is the call is just to make it accurate that they were in on X player, whereas other teams at the deadline just want to get a deal done and aren't being used for PR purposes.
I think if John Henry and those guys are in the room, and I kind of lean a little bit to Shine's point, but I think that he's basically said, okay, Brez, you're gonna do all the baseball stuff. He then comes back with a package and says, hey, John, this is what we should be willing to do to get Joe Ryan. Minnesota doesn't like that, and maybe John Henry goes, if you think that's best, Brez, then let's not do that. If you don't think it's worth it to give up Duran part of that deal, and I'm just using his name for
it. But it costs you $3 million, like,
yeah,
and prospects. Like, I just think they were way too late on it. Like, I don't think that deal ever was presented to them and John Henry said no, Curtis. Like, you don't think that, right?
Yeah, No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, I think that they were not as aggressive as they want us to believe they were,
yeah,
because John Henry really wants to have the maximum amount of flexibility with all these young guys around, and they traded several top prospects to get Crochet, and now their other prospects are playing in the big league club, so maybe they don't have the depth that other people
so
thought.
Do you think John Henry says you can trade you could trade player XYZ, prospect XYZ, but you can't trade these guys?
I think John Henry.
No idea which prospects are good and which aren't.
So I don't put it on John Henry. I put it on Breslow. If you're not giving Minnesota the best possible option, and I'm not buying that.
Wait, so you think John Henry wanted them to trade more and Breslow said no?
No. I think that Breslow went to Minnesota, gave them an offer for Joe Ryan
that John Henry probably approved of.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. And then Minnesota said, no, we want more with that.
Okay, so then
And then
he
Breslow and- said...
I think John Henry probably said, everybody is on the table except the password.
Oof.
Well, if you believe Jeff
Passan...
You ever
use the Google password when they say use a strong, or do you just create your own?
No, I always create my own. Yeah. I use the same one.
Yeah, bullet 123.
That's really bad.
I mean, it seems fine.
One hacker gets it.
I do have trouble. Right. I did have trouble logging into Roku to watch the game the other day.
This DoorDash account is loaded.
Is baseball ever going to be on just the regular network that one gets on their cable system? Or how is that going in the future?
Yeah. I have no idea. But I do know that if the Red Sox wanted Joe Ryan, they would have Joe Ryan. That's really simple. And it is not because of Craig Breslow. It's not because of any of the way the scouts...
So then who's it because? Like,
the organization.
So the organization said, we want Joe Ryan, but we're not willing to give up this piece.
What it takes to get him, right? Which is why they call the pursuit.
So then that would be on Breslow.
But if Ryan was on the table, Curtis, a texter wants to know, if Joe Ryan was on the table, why didn't anybody else get him?
Because his salary was not onerous for the Twins. He is not someone that they're going to have to pay a lot the rest of the way.
It's $3.5 million or something, right?
So they'll wait to the offseason,
and they want the best possible deal,
right?
So nobody gave them the best possible deal.
The only deal that they described as feeble was from the Boston Red Sox.
Right, but it, to Greg's point, if there was a good enough deal
Saying, why did they call it feeble? They didn't say that about any other team.
But now somebody's a huge Avengers fan, because I think that's what Thanos said.
That's the best explanation.
Feeble human beings.
Right.
But I just look at if Breslow gave – they gave a counter to Breslow. Minnesota gave them a counter. I don't care if it was at the last hour. A lot of deals get done the last hour before the trade, the last 10 minutes before a trade deadline. Minnesota gave them a counter. They elected the Red Sox not to go with whatever that counter is.
Listen, they're undefeated since the deadline, so maybe Brezbot was spot on.
Right. If I don't put the trade, honestly, I put the trade, them not doing nothing, getting somebody, I put it on Breslow.
Good morning.
Hi.
I think Henry says, hey, you're free to do what you want with the baseball. You know, if it's a money situation, and clearly it wasn't, so he doesn't have to sign off on money.
4-0 since the unfortunate incident in Fall River, I'll tell you.
Yeah, they look pretty good. He's getting the last laugh right now.
Did you see the text that Ken sent Sam? It's a video of him cheering when everybody was booing.
No, I didn't see that. But yes, Sam Kennedy on this show Thursday at 9. Here is Courtney now with what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Red Sox took the first in their series with the Royals. 8-5 was the final at Fenway. Brian Baio went 6 innings, not giving up a single run on 6 hits while striking out 5. Roman Anthony was a late scratch. Alex Cora said it was due to a tight back. He will not play tonight either. Another one with the Royals tonight, 7-10 first pitch from Fenway with Garrett Crochet taking the mound. Brooksy joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Over to the Pats, who had practice yesterday, a scary moment when defensive coordinator Terrell Williams was treated for dehydration. He left midway through practice with the help of the medical staff. Other things
Did you hear about the guy, the coach, the defensive coordinator? He had dehydration yesterday.
No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. Fell down.
You should have covered that.
I know. My fault.
What about Braintree Little League?
No, that was all you.
Okay.
I knew that was your wheelhouse.
Okay.
Travion Henderson had a good day. Multiple catches for him. Bedarian Lowe returned to the field, signaling he will be coming off the PUP list. And Mike Vrabel said that Kendrick Bourne got rolled up on Friday. He's not expected to see him this week. Also, an update on Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis. They aren't expected to practice today or tomorrow against Washington. The guys have a walkthrough practice today at 10. And you've got to try the new burgers at the Nines. Bigger, bolder, and beefier. Their half-pound 100% American Angus beef is sure to please. Try the new bourbon onion burger and get more ang for your buck. You got to love the Nines. That's what's trending. Your Hill Notes coming up next.
Yesterday, at his press conference announcing the $130 million extension.
Good attendance at the press conference.
Real strong attendance. Yep. I want to circle back to that coming up. John Henry actually dusted himself off and was there.
He was there.
I wonder why.
Cigar?
I did not.
No, I don't think so.
You can't take your eyes off his mom.
Could be that, Will. I don't know.
Perhaps.
I didn't see. I don't follow Linda Pizzuti. Did she put out a cigar?
I don't know. I also do
TikTok
not follow.
Or whatever? No.
I don't subscribe.
Roman Anthony did say to people like you, Keith, he does believe in himself. He made that clear in that answer there. He's like,
It was a working theory I had.
I believe in myself.
I know. Well, I ran that theory by Bradford a few months back, and he did not subscribe to it. Because, like, I still remember, and maybe I got to move on and find more examples, but, like, John Singleton, he was, like, the one young guy with the Astros that, like, immediately signed his deal, and he was, like, out of baseball. He's, like, horrible. He's, like, so sometimes there's, like, a little bit of a red flag, but I get why the teams want to do it, especially when you have, you're, like, oh, this guy's going to be good. Like, let's get in here now. Let's avoid the weird arbitration negotiations. And when we look back on it, maybe save ourselves a few bucks over the course of 8 years.
Well, how do you feel about this list? Okay, Roman Anthony is the, this is in passing story. Roman Anthony is the fifth player age 21 or younger to receive a contract of $100 million or more.
And so, but before you say the names, because I didn't even see this list, so I'm curious what the names are. 21 is different than like 25 as far as like betting on yourself. So if you're 21, you're like, you're giving me $130 million right now. I can still hit free agency and make another whatever.
He's going to be a free agent at 29 or 30.
Yeah. So that's a little bit different than some of these 25-year-olds where you're like, all right, you're not going to be a free agent until you're 33. So what kind of money are you going to get? But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. The list is Roman Anthony.
Good one.
Jackson Merrill in San Diego, who is he
TBD.
Hurt? Is he hurt right now? But he had a really good year a season ago.
He was an all-star his rookie year. He was actually the same draft class as he was drafted after Marcella Meyer.
He actually is making more than Anthony, 135. Now, I don't know if he has escalators in his deal like Anthony to go
higher. This season is much worse.
I thought he was hurt.
Merrill's fine. He played last night.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Last year, he had 24 dingers, 90 RBI, 16 steals, 826 OPS, 9th in the MVP, runner-up in the Rookie of the Year. This year, he has 8 home runs.
Okay, not great.
And a 731 OPS.
Julio Rod got a $210 million extension.
2020 guy, 4 straight years.
First guy to do it in
Julio
baseball
Rod's
history.
Good one.
Ronald Acuna, $100 million at age 21.
Yeah.
Was an MVP, correct?
Well, he was. He's a weird one because you're like, oh, man, he might have signed too early because, like, the season that he had, he was so good. But he might also be a good example as to why you signed the deal early. You don't know if you're going to get hurt. Right? That was always sort of one of the main arguments against somebody like me or others being like, well, if you bet on yourself, you can make a lot more money down the road. Well, you might still bet on yourself and have like a bad luck injury, and then that affects your value going forward. But yeah, Acuna did have an MVP season in 23.
And then the other one, this one's hard to quantify. Wander Franco, $182 million out of baseball.
Maybe you got to know the person a little bit before you sign him.
So I would say, look, Merrill TBD, Franco, that's a loss.
Yep.
Julio Rod and Ronald Acuna.
Good ones.
I think those are pretty good ones.
Yep, good ones.
So there's the list right now for the Red Sox and their spending. Do you think this is an indication, Keith, that this is the way they now operate? They're going to get to their guys early. They're going to draft, develop. They're going to pay them early because they're not going to spend in free agency. I know that frustrates some, and that's fair. I'd rather see them do what they did with Theo.
Yeah.
They were a talent production machine, but they'd also bring in big free agents, big trades. They were in on every player, whether it was in the draft, whether it was free agency, whether it was via trade. They were in on every player. That's how they should operate. I'll acknowledge that. They should operate like the Dodgers. Present day. I feel like that's how the Red Sox used to operate. Are you frustrated with, let's call it, the Braves approach, the Astros approach, like that sort of way of going about business where you're not necessarily a big player in free agency. You are a draft and develop, pay your stars type of organization.
I think you should be both. You're the Red Sox. You know, and I heard the argument this morning about it, and Wiggy was going to the list of like most expensive days at the ballpark, and the Red Sox are still number one. When you ticket, food, drink, parking, it's the most expensive. So you shouldn't have the 12th highest payroll. Or lower your ticket prices. One of the two.
Yeah, they should never be outside the top three. Never mind outside the top five. Never mind outside the top 10.
I'd even give him fifth, because there are some times where, if you have teams like the Dodgers or maybe the Cubs or the Mets with their new owner and the Yankees, like whatever. If you're behind those four teams, you're still really competitive. You're like 12, 13, and you're looking around the teams around you. That to me is unacceptable because you can be both. You can be the team that drafts and develops well, takes care of the players that are their own players. But then when it comes time to fill a need, be the team that's at the top of the line for Pete Alonso or Kyle Tucker. You shouldn't be like, we're not in on Kyle Tucker because we have Roman Anthony. You can have both. There's room in the lineup for both of those guys. So I think they should be both. I think some of their best seasons, they were both. I mean, the 04 team really had a lot of guys, I guess, that weren't even as much homegrown. But I think when you combine a little bit of everything, I mean, the 2018 Red Sox, for example, they had some guys that they were very aggressive in getting. So trades for Chris Sale and Craig Kimbrell, big time signing in David Price, which, trust me, there were ups and downs with David Price.
Yeah, but that,
you were very aggressive to get him.
That ended up
and he was
being
good.
That ended up being worth it. I bitched about it plenty, but that ended up being worth it. Yeah.
And then you had your guys too, right? You had Mookie and you had Bogarts and you had Devers. You had all those different guys. So it really should be some combination. And maybe this will be sort of a trend. And I think not even Roman Anthony as the main example, because Roman Anthony going into the year was the number one prospect in all of baseball. It's more Rafaela and Bayo, and getting those guys, getting a deal done with those guys might speak to it a little bit more. They've reportedly tried getting deals done with Casas in the past, and maybe it's going to be better for them that they didn't.
Good point.
Because that was another guy they were looking at. And Campbell, right? So Campbell, great 1 month at the major league level, TBD for the rest of his career. But that's four guys that you've already locked up. Duran probably seems like one you're not. He's also older than all these other guys. Meyer's probably the next one. But if they have their reservations about him because of his health, like, I kind of get that.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, the Dodgers and the Rangers have won World Series spending big. So that definitely works. I'm not saying it doesn't. I would just say the Braves and the Astros have won World Series recently, too. And that is a different style of approach. That's similar to what the Red Sox are doing. So I prefer the Dodgers way. I prefer what the Rangers did. Targeted splashes in free agency. You cash in a championship a couple of years later. I prefer what the Red Sox used to do. But the other way does work. And if the Red Sox are going to do this, and this is their new business model, I'll hold my nose in the meantime. But locking up your young core of talent, hopefully the championships follow. Because that is what happened with the Braves. That is what happened with the Astros a couple of times now in the last decade. 617-779-7937. This was Craig Breslow. I think had a chance to grave dance on the Devers trade a little bit and say, oh, well, look, I guess we are using the Devers money.
Yeah, you see the guy we got in return for Devers? See him last night? Oh, we got him.
Lovely outing out of Jordan Hicks last night. I like that combo. Dustin Day, Jordan Hicks. That's a good combo. Where's Alcala? Could you get him in there?
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah. He took the high road, though. He took the high road on the Devers money yesterday.
Sure. You know, I think we have to look at the interactions of decisions, but we also try to make the best discrete decisions that we can. And so I think these things were largely independent. You know, we felt like what was best for the organization at the time was to trade Rafi. And yesterday, we thought that what was best for the organization is to come to an agreement to keep Roman in a Red Sox uniform for a really long time. You know, and I think if we continue to take that approach and make the best decisions with each kind of situation that's in front of us, then ultimately we're going to look back and realize that we've stacked good decision on top of good decision and put the team in a great position to win games.
Okay, so he didn't do that thing that I expected the Red Sox to do, which
he has
is
away with words, doesn't he?
No, it's so annoying. Oh well, they're independent of one another.
Interactive decisions or whatever. How you interact with decisions.
So
like, what?
It's annoying to hear.
Yeah,
but in his robot speak. He did not tell you that, well, yeah, we're going to reinvest the Devers money. He said they're independent of each other. We just got to make good decisions separately from one another. Yeah. We don't tie them together.
No, he's an extension machine, this guy.
Well, I expected Keith.
Yeah.
Kennedy this morning, Breslow yesterday, John Henry, they rolled him in there yesterday. Somebody to take a victory lap on, I guess we are using the Devers. But I expected him to do it, and they didn't do that, so they get a little half credit for that.
Yeah, no, that's true. And they should be different. And if you look into the details of the deal, Anthony's not getting, you know, $28 million today or whatever it is.
No, right?
It's like a slow escalator up, and it adds up to 130 with the chance to be even as high as 230. But yeah, they're not doing that, which they shouldn't, because I think they'd get called out right away for that. Plus,
hopefully they're smart enough to realize, guys, just don't do it. Don't even scratch at the Devers itch. I would have done it if I were Breslow on deadline day.
Yeah.
Where it was like, hey, guys, I guess that deal worked out okay. Maybe I know what I'm doing. But I wouldn't have done it here.
Well, in the way
I would try to stay away from that until you really spend money, a la a Bregman extension.
Yeah.
Or Tucker, Alonso, the names we talked about.
How about
before.
A guy that wasn't teammates with Devers? Right? Like, you, if you brought in somebody else, you'd be like, okay, maybe they wouldn't have gotten that guy had Devers been here.
You don't even think they should do it with Bregman?
No, I don't. Like, you're already on the hook for $41 million this year, and if he opts in, $41 million next year, and if he opts in, $41 million the year after that. So, like, even if you give him an extension, you're maybe tacking on years. You're giving him more money per year? The guy played half the season. I'm not giving him $50 million to play third base.
I love Bregman.
We all like Bregman, but good Lord.
I love Bregman. I want to give Breslow as much credit as possible.
I know you do.
A Bregman extension, I personally would have mixed feelings on, because I don't think there's going to be much of a market for him this offseason.
No, if they, in the offseason, if they sign two of those hitters we mentioned, Alonso or Tucker, or they make a trade for Joe Ryan and then immediately give him an extension a la Crochet, I would say, yeah, that's probably not done had they had Devers. But if you're just re-signing Roman Anthony and re-signing Bregman, I'd be like, yeah, they played with Devers.
The team hasn't improved. You gave them more money.
He's
but
moved the
team,
money around a little bit.
The team hasn't changed.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. All your thoughts on the Roman Anthony extension, what it means for the Red Sox as a business going forward. Meanwhile, speaking of that business, why was John Henry at the press conference yesterday?
Oh, you know.
That was very interesting. Let's get to that next.
They said it coming up in about 15 minutes at 7:20, and we will go over what Lucas Giolito said after tossing that gem for the Boston Red Sox yesterday. They sweep the Astros. August begins with a bang and not in a disaster way as it has last few years. So I don't know if they figured something out. I don't know. We were concerned about what happens in the clubhouse when you do nothing at the deadline, as Craig Breslow did. And it seems like maybe these guys are going to, this August is going to be different for this ball club. So you could talk about that all morning long and all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. By the way, good morning and hello to those who are up early and watching this show, which you can do on either YouTube or on Twitch. And this show on Twitch is presented every day by Springer's Jewelers. If you are looking for a diamond, then go see my friends at Springer's. They are in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and they will teach you everything you need to know about buying a diamond, which is a lot, and then sell it to you for the best price at Springer's. But we have leads left this morning. Hello, Courtney.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. Just a big shout out to all the riders and the PMC that were able to finish yesterday down in P-Town. If you're not familiar with the Pan Mass Challenge, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has raised over $1 billion doing this since 1980. And they had a record year this year. They raised over $75 million just in 2025 from the riders that partake in this. Santo did an awesome job. His first time ever doing it. He's definitely sore this morning. But also a big shout out to the Flames.
Oh, what's going on with the bulge in that thing?
It's a bounce back for him.
Can you give us a warning?
Well, those are the biker shorts.
It's a bounce back.
Give us
there may be some children watching YouTube.
Seven is
dominated
nuts,
the world,
though. Okay. Right. There you go. There's proof.
He looks like he killed it.
Yeah, he did. He killed it. And it was awesome for him to join one of his best friends, Charlie Hale. His dad, JD, is the captain of the team Flames, where they have a ton of riders. So Santo was able to kind of join them and figure out the ropes with them. Now I do. Oh, and I want to say a big shout out. There were so many nice listeners that said things to Santo on both days at the different rest stops.
Nice things.
Very nice things.
I love it.
And I met two of them yesterday. Michael, I met at the finish line, and then I met Luke walking around P-Town. So that was awesome. But let me show you where they have these riders sleep, because they stop in Bourne and they sleep at Mass Maritime. This is where Santo slept on Saturday night.
Oh, very comfortable.
It's like under a table. They keep the lights on all night. So next year he said he needs to pack some type of like eye mask, something to put over his eyes. But it's unbelievable. He said it was the best experience ever. Everybody's just in such a great mood. And he said he can't believe how many people are on their front lawn. He said he didn't go more than a minute without somebody being on the street or somebody on their front lawn thanking all the riders for raising money and riding. So it's just, it's very, very cool to see it, how many people partake in it and how many people support Dana-Farber.
Right. Oh, awesome. It's an overnight event, so they have to...
It's almost 200 miles.
Oh, damn.
So it's 100 miles on Saturday. So he starts in Sturbridge. Okay. There's also a start in Wellesley. And then you ride 100 miles on Saturday. And then I want to say it's like 70 something or 80 something on Sunday.
And you finish in P-Town?
In P-Town. And Curtis always raves about P-Town. I haven't been to P-Town since I was a child. It's awesome. You are so right, Curtis. The people are so nice. There's so many cool places. We went to this restaurant called JD's. We were on the roof there. Great food, great drink. It was like, I got to go back and enjoy like a full weekend there.
Awesome. All right, Courtney, thank you.
Thank you.
Great lead. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So we kind of talked about this a little bit at the start of the show about the Red Sox and sweeping the Astros. And I think the biggest question that I have, and I don't know when we'll get it, and I guess maybe I'm asking the room on, like, when do we say, okay, is Lucas Giolito and Brian Bello, are they what we've seen them to be? Because in the last 30 days, Giolito's ERA has been 3.38 and Bello's been 2.67, which is excellent.
Last 30 days for both of them?
Last 30 days. So I guess the question maybe, you know, we're always asking is this who these guys are? We seen another performance from Giolito yesterday that was really, really good. And, you know, so did Breslow maybe with the decision of not getting the number two guy or not wanting to spend or not, whatever the situation is it because that they feel like this is who they are? And or and then
I,
the listen,
I agree with Curtis. Mm-hmm. Like, the more they win in August, which is different than it has been in the last couple of years, the more I would have liked to see them really invest and be and like sit there and be with a legit number two mm-hmm. when it comes to playoffs. Because you're a playoff team. Mm-hmm. You are definitely a playoff team. And
the Yankees are imploding. Did you see that? The first base coach and Aaron Boone getting into it after yes. one of their guys got doubled off at first. I mean, if you make a deal for Joe Ryan and you're sitting here today with Giolito as your third starter and Bayo as your fourth starter, you are the favorite to go to the World Series.
What if they feel like they might be able to, and this is why I'm looking at it, they feel like, all right, we could get more in the offseason for potentially guys that we're going to move on from. Mm-hmm. Get that, you know, number two, but who the hell knows? Maybe Giolito and Bayo have proven like, all right, they can be number two. So if you go out and you get another legit arm, you could have a legit rotation of a true ace and Crochet three number twos.
You have to, I guess you're hoping and praying that mm-hmm. what these guys have shown you the last month is what they're going to be the rest of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at, I mean, Curtis, you've been really, as a baseball team, they've been really successful against some good baseball teams. I mean, you swept the Dodgers, you swept the Astros, like you swept the Yankees.
Two out of three against the Dodgers.
Two out of three. You won the series. So mm-hmm. yeah, but you were like, I mean, I you know, you can be competitive. The mm-hmm. question just becomes when you're there in October,
mm-hmm.
are we all sitting here and going, God, I wish they got that second legit arm.
What did Sam Kennedy say was wrong with their last several trade deadlines? I'll tell you. He said they middled it, and they can't middle it anymore. Well, this year they've traded Devers, and they've traded two prospects to get Mats and May. And to me, when they said, we will invest when we see ourselves as a legit contender. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And you can't say now that Breslow knew that they had a number two in Giolito when he told us that Ken Rosenthal was lying, that they did, in fact, go very hard after Joe Ryan.
So do we need like 60 days or 90 days where we go, okay, if they continue to pitch this way where you feel confident enough in that?
Well, there's not 90 days left.
All right. I guess 90. I mean,
when is that thing? The
90
seven,
days would be into the postseason.
When's the asteroid coming?
Yeah.
No, that's in 90 days.
And it's really the playoffs, Wiggs, mm-hmm. because the pitching is the most important thing, and you don't really know what someone is until they get there.
All right, Wiggy, great question from you. Thank you.
Got it.
I am often accused on this show by my millennial friends that I work with and the millennials who listen to this show and the Gen Zers who listen to this show of having an old head bias when mm-hmm. it comes to work ethic and to those generations. And so I wanted to share a little bit of a rant with regard to that very particular thing on the work ethic and the character of the younger generation, which I saw over the weekend from the West Virginia University head coach Rich Rodriguez, who's talking about the players that he gets
mm-hmm.
and how it can be difficult in today's society to get college football players to work hard. Shyam, do you have a little bit of that we can share here this morning?
I think that's part of my responsibility to teach our guys this, and they got a long, successful life ahead of them. But not all is going to be strawberries and sunshine and roses and flowers. I told them, hey, my dad was a coal miner. He worked in a coal mine. Had 1 week off a year, I think. Work all day in the coal mines, and you come home, you got stuff all over you, blah, and then go work in the garden for 4 hours. And as I got older as a kid, I was a little kid, we worked in a garden a little bit. And then the older I got, the more garden we did, and the bigger the garden got. I hated pulling weeds. I mean, I'd rather do anything than pull weeds. You ever pull weeds in a garden around beans? It's miserable, absolutely miserable. I mean, I would play every sport. I don't care. I mean, we didn't even have lacrosse. I'd lie and say, hey, I'm going to go play lacrosse or something, just so I could have. But I played every sport, so it wasn't to get out of the garden, but that was a side benefit. You know what I'm saying? you know, the people in this state, how they work. I mean, you've seen people, whether coal miners or, you know, anybody. I mean, it's not always easy. Our guys got it pretty good. Y'all been through this building? Have you seen how we eat? They got it pretty good. They live in a fantasy world. We live in a fantasy world. We want for nothing. You want food, you want medical help. We even got an ice cream machine. We just got it yesterday.
All right.
So, is that going to cut through with today's player, Wiggy?
You
were coaching them for a little bit.
No.
Rockton?
No. They don't care that you're...
You used to have to be out in the garden weeding.
Yeah. They don't care that your daddy worked 20 hours in a coal mine. They came home to their garden for another 3 hours and only got 1 hour of sleep and did it again.
Uh-huh.
They don't... For them, that is like... I don't know. That's like, you know, that's, you know, years and years of something that they have no clue.
How much of an adjustment, if any, do you think Bill Belichick has made when it comes to the way he's coaching college players?
A lot.
Do you think he has?
Yeah.
I don't know. I whenever I hear Bill Belichick, I just think about his mom, Mary Kay Cabot. Holy cow. This weekend was the greatest mic drop moment I have ever heard at a Hall of Fame induction. But yes, I think Bill's probably had to change his ways.
You think so? And you think he's done that willingly or begrudgingly, Curtis?
Well, he has someone who would know how to relate to them.
Yeah.
With them every day.
Yeah. And I think that's something that made him change even more, or like not relatable to these kids, but they probably looking all like your girlfriend's our age, so they're probably like looking at him like, oh, maybe he's cool for an old guy.
You guys, he's never going to be relatable to an 18-year-old. Like he is in his 70s. It's too big of an age gap, and that's fine. But he's cool to those guys.
Dating a 24-year-old, he's probably like, that's pretty cool.
But I disagree, because I think we've talked about this in the past, and you've said, I don't think any 18-year-old like cares that he's Bill Belichick, where I disagree with that. I think that a lot of them still look at that like, damn, he coached Tom Brady forever.
Well, I think they care in the sense that he might be able to help them get to the NFL. That's what college athletes.
But he's a legend.
College athletes care about one thing, especially in football. How can you help me get to the NFL? Billy O'Brien will tell us that, you know, that's what they have to do with their recruiting. There's no more recruiting. Come here, get a 4-year education, and you'll be able to walk away and this, that. I know Billy O says it about BC, but those kids are sitting down, and he's probably saying, here's how I can help you get to the NFL. Here's my connections. And I think the connection for, like, the cool, like, looking at Bill and saying, oh, he's pretty cool, is, yeah, he's a 70-year-old dating a 24-year-old. But I don't think, like, with Rich Rodriguez in West Virginia, I don't think that these kids look at that and can relate, because that's like ancient history.
And also, Wiggs, if I'm a kid on that roster, I'm saying, and you're making $8 million in Morgantown and I'm doing all the work, why are you bitching about our lunchroom? Why don't you share some of that wealth?
But I mean, isn't it a rags to riches story if you went from weeding the garden to making $8 million a year?
Well, my guess is a lot of the people that are playing there didn't come from Weston, Massachusetts. I mean, I feel like the players that are there are coming out of something that was deep with adversity.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Bill Belichick, game one on this radio station.
Yeah. And August, man, I cannot wait.
In a few weeks,
yeah,
which is great to say. All right, what? Sean?
Football being here is just a beautiful thing. It really is.
It really is. Are you going Friday night, Sean?
Not at the moment. No.
Oh, would you like to? I mean,
I mean, if you're offering, I'd love
to find a way to get you in. Quick down little, there if you want to take a trip down, check out the Tom Brady night.
I mean, be careful, you've done this before, and then he's bailed. So,
is that true?
Well, that concert.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what did he bail on me?
You were supposed to go to a concert last year at Gillette.
We were?
Yeah.
When was that?
Yes, you were.
I know they went to a concert together.
I haven't wanted to go to a concert at Gillette in years.
It was over a year ago. I'll find it.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? I think Courtney's right, but I don't remember.
Was it Zach Bryan?
Nope. Wasn't Zach Bryan.
Swift?
I thought the last concert was it had to be like a Def Leppard or something, but didn't you go to that concert?
I went to that, yeah. I was at that at Fenway.
And Greg, this is a great idea, because this is usually the one game we all get offered. It's the preseason game.
Right. So.
Yeah. I will not go to a preseason game.
Team building.
I will never go to a preseason game.
Ever?
No, because for what? You're not going to see the guys. You know, you're just going to see a bunch of no-namers, the third strings. It's like, if I'm going to...
Well, don't you want to be there? Your quarterback is getting a statue on Friday.
Yeah, but I feel like that's going to be super quick.
I mean, did he send you an invite or anything?
No invite, but I feel like that'll be super quick. Right?
I mean...
I
feel like you should be a part of the statue. Like, it's 12 feet tall.
Yes.
But I feel like kind of on the side should be you, like, almost stepping out of bounds, catching a ball in the snow bowl. Like, I feel like that should be
a little bit
adjacent, like on the side.
Yeah. Seven is dominated nuts, the world, though.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think?
I'll text Brady and see if there's a chance maybe he can make that happen.
That was a flex.
Well, no, I mean.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Do you think he'd respond?
Yeah, he will.
Wiggy, we've known each other how long, and now you're telling me you have his number? My God.
Sick brag, bro.
That is the Jones and Keith brag of the week.
Though. I feel like, you know, that's a pretty cool brag.
All right. They said it coming up. Then the news with Courtney at 7:45, and there has been an incident of incorrect to-go order rage, which led to violence in New Jersey. Years after the incident, apparently. So we'll get to that in the rest of the news at 7:45. But right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox sweep the Astros in their weekend series, leapfrogging the Yankees to take that number two spot in the AL East. Now they're just three games back from the Blue Jays. 6-1 was the final yesterday with Lucas Giolito going eight innings, giving up just a run on three hits while striking out four. The Royals now in town for the Sox. 7:10 first pitch tonight from Fenway with Brian Baio taking the mound. Brooksy joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Over to basketball, where Luka Doncic signed a three-year, $165 million contract extension that brings his salary through 2028-29 to $206.8 million with the Lakers. Pretty good. Into the Patriots, they had a little scrimmage on Friday night. Reports were that Drake May struggled a bit. Now it was blue versus white. Joining May on his blue team were receivers Diggs, Williams, Bourne, Chisholm, running back Ramondre Stevenson, and tight end Austin Hooper. Joshua Dobbs, white squad, had receivers Douglas, Booty, Polk, Baker. They had running back Travion Henderson and tight end Hunter Henry. We're going to hear from Mike Vrabel this morning at 10 a.m. and practice is set for 10:15. And when we say we want to lose weight, we mean fat, not muscle. New studies show up to 40% of weight loss on the new meds is muscle, not fat. Keep your muscle, lose the fat with Awaken 180, awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. They said it. Coming up next.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of afternoons is brought to you by Eagle Bank.
Swing and a miss! He got him! Fastball blows him away at 97. That'll do, Pig. That will do. Hamilton's got it. He throws to first. Ball game over. Seven in a row for the Red Sox. Oink, oink.
Seven.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
You heard Will Fleming. You heard the legendary Joe Castiglione. Seven. Seven wins in a row for your Boston Red Sox. 6-2 over the Royals last night. Garrett Crochet. We were all wondering, is he dealing with something? Are they not telling us the truth? Is this management of him more than that? Nope. He went out there. His velocity was up. He did the job. He got the win.
That'll do, Pig.
7 innings pitched. 8 Ks. 1 walk. Trevor Story and company. Duran. The boys keep rolling along at the plate. And here we are with one of the best teams in baseball.
Will Fleming was sitting on that line from Babe, waiting to use it all season long.
That'll do, Pig. That will do.
I mean, my God, you could just hear the joy in his voice. Like, wait, hold on, Middlebrooks. I got a great one for the end of the game tonight if Crochet wins.
I'm glad you told me it was a line from Babes.
Babe, that's a classic line.
I believe you.
Phenomenal. You've seen it, haven't you?
Maybe, maybe not. We'll never
great
know.
Great one for the
WEEI.
It's in Ted's movie club, right?
WEEI Afternoons
here. It won't make the club, but it's a good movie.
It won't make the club from the tub.
Yeah.
Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio, where we are brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series official truck of the Red Sox. We are at Fenway Park. It is Wednesday. They are winning. And at 2:30, the manager, Alex Cora, who seems to be living a pretty damn good life right now, will be joining us here in studio to talk about the role the team is on, to talk about Fenway Park. We continue to hear him discuss and praise the crowd. Our guy Brad Foe, his latest Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, talked a little bit about that environment where Cora said to him, Breslow texted him that Monday night was the largest paid attendance they'd had since 2019. And Cora's response was like, wait, a Monday night against the Royals? We got something going on here. It's not a Friday night against the Yankees. It was Monday night against the Royals. Big crowd, big energy. There is, Ted, we touched on it a little bit yesterday. This team has a special feel. All the dominoes are falling into place, and yet another domino fell into place today. Roman Anthony, 8 years, $130 million with escalators, could grow to $230 million. As I told Ted Johnson, he was born too soon, and he was born in the wrong sport, baby.
Yeah, I've had my agent tell me I was born at the right time, only to 15 years later say, well, maybe not. But, yeah, the money's insane, but it is interesting. At first, you go, okay, if he's even close to being the player they all expect him to be, that's not 130. Oh, no, he's got $100 million in escalators,
yes,
too. Oh, okay, very good. This is a big day. This is a great day for fans of the Red Sox, because that is, you want to get this guy. I mean, of all the young guys, of course, to me, Roman Anthony is the king jewel. And so to get him locked up for, like you say, he won't hit free agency until he's 30. Are you kidding
basically
me?
Basically 30.
Yep. 2034.
So that's a big day. And to be playing the way they're playing coming off of the trade deadline, look, a lot of us didn't think that they would respond well, because history is usually the best indicator of kind of what's going to come in the future. And they have just not handled inactivity at trade deadline well as a team. But this year's team, please, different team, different makeup, different guys, and they're on a roll right now, Fitz.
Some of us had faith that maybe the team would respond.
I want to go back to last Friday. I'm calling BS that you were telling me.
You were in the dumpster. You were just absolutely standing outside in the rain without an umbrella.
You did not want to see that.
And what did he do?
None of y'all did either.
But we didn't give up. That's it.
You were telling people on the deck, it's been lovely playing with you. Like, you were folding deck chairs on the Titanic.
You gave up on him, bud. Come on.
Oh, I did. Absolutely.
Ted and I were bailing water. We were just picking people up and putting them in lifeboats. We were holding on. We were keeping the Fenway faith. Meanwhile, you're like, I can't wait until Cooper Criswell ruins my 19th Miller Lite. Rump, rump, rump.
Then I found out that there weren't any Miller Lights in the park, and I'm drinking Mick Ultra or whatever I was drinking.
What were you did you just complete an ultra marathon?
Yeah. I'm a marathoner. But the Red Sox, so this is now 21-6 in their last 27 games. Like, this just gets more impressive by the minute. And Dan Ball, our guy, I gave you an assignment yesterday, right? So you're ready to respond to that assignment, correct? I wanted to know. Give me some perspective. So Red Sox went into the All-Star break with a 10-game winning streak.
They did.
Now coming out of the All-Star break, post-trade deadline, we have a 7-game winning streak. Put some multiple winning streaks in perspective for me.
So it was 16 days in between winning streaks for the Red Sox.
Okay.
From the end of the 10 to the beginning of the 7
yep.
for the Boston Red Sox. So your question was, when was the last time that the Red Sox had a winning streak, two winning streaks of that length with that amount of time in between?
Yeah.
You have to go back to 1988 to find a winning streak of at least 10 games and another of at least 7 games that happened in a shorter amount of time. It happened within like a day of each other.
What happened back in 1988?
I'm going to guess Morgan Magic.
Boom sauce. That's right.
So that's once again in a season where it seems like we're getting countless. Oh, first time in history, first time in 50 years. The Red Sox have done something winning streak wise that you haven't seen in a while. This is the last time the Red Sox also had a 10 plus game winning streak and a 7 plus game winning streak in the same season was the 2018 season.
Oh, what happened that year?
Oh, come on.
They might have won a little bit of a World Series.
Oh, they
duck boats, things of that nature.
Duck boats, hardware, metal
Absolutely.
Trophy,
yeah,
things
yeah.
like that, special yeah. days. So, and the good thing is, you mentioned it, this team has made a lot of history this year.
Yeah.
I feel like almost every game we've seen history, But for a while, it was the bad kind. Remember, it was no team has ever won a game while giving up five home runs and making five errors and getting caught stealing five times or something stupid.
Yeah.
Now it's history of like, wow, they just win. Wow, they just have the ball rolling, and now they're all pushing the ball in the same direction. The goodwill in this ballpark, in this town, is unlike anything we've seen around here in a long time. They're so likable. You get, we've talked about the, I'm throwing up on themselves celebration. It's just, Ted, you said you do believe in special.
Yeah.
And I know it's easy to wait till the end of the year and say, oh, that was a special baseball team. They won the World Series. It's a lot harder to do it in the midst of like, is this a special team?
Yeah.
But when you put everything together, and I even think the Roman Anthony contract, this idea that when you look at it, the core of this team is now going to be here for the foreseeable. They're like the Celtics. They're built for a little dynasty run here. Or your Astros, where you have these young players. You brought in a Crochet. You extended him. They're all locked up for the next five, I mean, 6 years.
Bregman, I told you guys, Bregman was going to be a great player in a huge asset from a leadership standpoint, which this team desperately needed. Leadership. They didn't have. I don't care how good the young guys are. They're just they don't feel comfortable leading, nor should they. They're trying to figure out their way through the through major leagues. And so you needed somebody with strong leadership. They brought him in. I mean, the fact that they had the chutzpah to trade away Rafi Devers, I give them a lot of credit for that. A lot of teams would not do that. They did it, and I think they did it sooner than maybe most teams would. And I think that's been a huge, huge reason they are where they are, because a young team is going to feed off of energy, crowd, vibes, good feelings in the locker room, and this is a young team, and they are doing that.
And I'll tell you, the whole notion of Alex Bregman taking the chance. First of all, the balls, the baseballs on this team to tell Devers, like, oh, you know the position you play? Yeah, you're not going to play it anymore because you're not very good at it. You can hit the baseball. And then eventually when your sour milk attitude spoils the locker room, we're going to get your ass out of here. They bring in Bregman, who has never missed the playoffs, made the playoffs every single season. He bets, and of course it's nice, it's very easy to bet when you get paid $40 million a season, on the idea that he's not going to miss it again. You got to tell yourself right now, like, it's starting to feel like Alex Bregman is going to continue his playoff streak.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I am going to be, you know, I blow with the wind. I'm reactionary, though. You could probably cut it off at blow, whatever.
Fine.
It's going to stun me now if they don't make the playoffs. I mean, it would take, to me, a rash of injuries or just something sort of nonsensical to derail this team.
And to the tote board, Dan Ball, would you believe now it is only 28-19 they need to go to reach not just a potential playoff team, 92-70 is now clearly on the horizon if they just continue to play good baseball.
Well, what's their pace, Dan Ball? Don't mean to throw you a curve ball there, but what's their current pace go out to, play out to for wins?
I can do that calculation real quick and get back to you.
You get back to me. But no, they are playing so well. They are. It's hard to argue that they're not. They're, statistically, I know we blew off run differential earlier in the year because they had those misleading blowouts that were fluffing their numbers.
Yep. They lost all the one-run games they could possibly lose.
21. And they lost 21 one-run games.
And as of tonight, maybe, they could have the best run differential in the American League. And they're chasing. They're no longer chasing wild cards. They are the top wild card by a nice, they get a little differentiation there. They're chasing best record in the American League where it's the Blue Jays and the Tigers you're chasing.
It is crazy when you think of who led the majors in strikeouts. Who led the majors in one run loss games. Who was leading the majors in fielding errors? It was the Red Sox. And now they in the last couple weeks they lead in starting pitching ERA. They lead in bullpen ERA. It's like they're a different team right now, comparatively speaking, to where they were to start for the first 2 months at least.
And we were boots on the ground. WEEI Afternoons was boots on the ground down in Foxborough today. So we're going to get into Patriots joint practices with the Commanders in the 3 o'clock hour. But we know the head coach down there said, you know, the good stuff, the bad stuff, and the bleep that'll get you beat, or whatever his phrase was.
Mm-hmm.
This team had a lot of bleep that would get you beat earlier in the year. They're eliminating more of that by the day. I'm not saying it's all eliminated. There have been errors. There's been different things. But Ted Johnson, did you look at the K column last night for your Boston Red Sox?
I did not.
Two strikeouts. It's funny. The offense seems better when they do something simple like put the ball in play. Don't just strike out. Remember that one stretch? It was 16, 12, and 16, I believe, in a three-game span.
It was Cubs into the second subsequent series.
Yes. And like, you're just taking away your chances. Baseball's too hard in a lot of ways, regardless of what you do. But when you strike out 16 times a game, 12 times a game, you just take it away.
Yeah.
Give the other team a chance to boot a ball. Give the other team a chance to not have the range to get to a ground ball between third and short.
I think when they changed their hitting philosophy right before that 10-game win streak, right before the All-Star game, they changed how they pitched. It was almost like they did both at the same time, and that has made the difference. Their philosophy and how they pitch, they throw a lot more fastballs.
Yep.
And they just tighten their swing down and aren't, you know, trying to lift the ball out. They're just trying to make contact. And both of the changes has paid dividends.
And there were changes we asked for as a fan base, as color commentators. I remember hearing Will Middlebrooks kind of bitch about it all early in the season. And we can ask Alex Cora about that. Like, what philosophical changes have maybe slowly evolved over the course of the season that have maybe led to some of the successes they're having? They've played a little small ball occasionally as they've needed to. Friday night, that was part of that victory. And yes, the fans are part of it. Now, I don't know the chicken or the egg theory. Did they give the fans reason to have more energy, or did the fans start bringing more energy, or did it kind of go hand in hand?
The fans were ready to go from the very beginning. The people were hyped for this season based on what they did in the offseason. So they were just waiting for the Red Sox to give them a reason, and they weren't. They were 500, and that's painful to go up and down, up and down. And so it wasn't until recently that they gave them a reason to fully buy in.
And not just buy in, but even buy in your seats. Like, the mentality I took to the Criswell start on Friday.
Terrible.
Negative mentality. I admit to it. You know, in part that was from, remember that Angels game where it was, I think it was Giolito on the mound, gave up like 6 runs in the first.
Yeah.
You take your home crowd completely out of the game with an inning like
that. No, it was not Giolito. It was a Dickie Fitz start.
Oh, yeah, Richard ready. Fitz, right.
And I was here for it. I came down to grab two tall Sam Summers, and I heard, whoa.
Right.
And then whoa again, and I looked up. I walk up the tarmac, 2-0 already? Hey, can I get 4 more of those, please? Like, and then,
the whole crowd's out of it.
No, but the thing was, I said it the next day on the radio, and I'll say it again. They were out of it momentarily, Andy, but there was no, like, in the Mayo era and in previous seasons where the Red Sox were in the toilet and there was not much hope for them, fans would have left early. The crowd was packed. They were in it the whole way. The ballpark stayed till the very end. They lost 7-6. Painful loss. But they were here all night. They were an awesome crowd. Cheered their asses off. So I want to say to the notion of the crowds just getting into it, they've been in it all season. You're right, Ted. They have been ready for this all season. They wanted to believe, starting with the signing of Bregman and all the good vibes coming out of Fort Myers and the suits and Bregmania and Alex telling us, we got a good baseball team. All of it. Everyone's dialed in, and now they're being rewarded.
Can I ask you a somewhat negative question?
Well, if you're speaking, I would presume.
So we all love Roman Anthony. We think he's a star. Fitzy, you now have the answer to what jersey to buy your kids.
I 1,000% do.
Yeah. Buy a Roman Anthony jersey.
Yep.
Did you benefit from this little back injury, this little muscle thing? Any chance that Roman Anthony, I'm sure they've been having these talks for a while now, probably going back to the spring when they did Christian Campbell. They've been doing this in recent years. Any chance you benefited that he was like, wow, I can tweak a back muscle just stretching before the game? That $130 million they have on the table looks even better right now. Security, maybe he was just scared straight and was like, give me that pen, I'll sign that deal. Maybe he would have held out. I don't know. That's my only other thing. And then the other side is, we do have Dustin May taking the mound tonight. And I'm not in Cooper Criswell land. Not there at all.
No. Go back there. We need you there, because when you do that, we get the reverse jinx, and then everybody feels good about it. But you know, you get all hyped up about Dustin, you know, Dustin May, who knows?
617-779-7937, WEEI Afternoons. We are at Fenway Park, where we'll talk to the manager, Alex Cora, up next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. Red Sox outfielder Roman Anthony and the Red Sox have finalized an 8-year, $130 million contract extension. The deal includes a club option and will keep Anthony under team control through 2034. The Red Sox won their 7th straight game last night. They beat the Kansas City Royals 6-2. Garrett Crochet won his 13th game of the season. His 2.24 ERA ranks 3rd in all of Major League Baseball. The Sox go for the sweep tonight. First pitch is at 7:10. Dustin May will make his Red Sox debut, and you can can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Go Shopping, Get Rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arkin begins at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. You've got to try the new burgers at the Nines. Bigger, bolder, and beefier. Their half-pound, 100% American Angus beef is sure to please. Try the new bourbon onion burger and get more ang for your buck. You got to love the Nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Red Sox manager Alex Cora joins Afternoons Live at Fenway Park next.
That was everybody's favorite president of baseball operations, Craig Breslow. Not going to lie, sounded a little nervous there. How can you be nervous when you just inked the best player on your team for $130 million for 8 years? It really is amazing that he can come off as nervous. That should have been one of his victory lap opportunities.
He's not a good public speaker.
No, he's not. It's kind of part of his job. I don't know if he knew that.
A robot. That's why his true soul joined our show.
He doesn't even sound like Brezbot. A robot because robots don't get nervous. Breslow doesn't get nervous. Breslow just says whatever he wants, and Breslow feels confident about it. Craig Breslow gets nervous. But we're talking about Roman Anthony, the Boston Red Sox. Is Roman Anthony the face of the franchise? 36% of Red Sox fans voting right now believe so, leading our poll at Jumbo Heart on Twitter if you want to join the voting. Let's go to the phone lines now. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Tim in Connecticut. Tim, what are your thoughts on the post-Roman Anthony signing Red Sox?
No, I think that's a great. I'm glad they did it. But I got kind of a solution. You guys may or may not agree with it. And it brings in Joe Ryan. So we keep the three outfielders the way they are. Kieran Durant, Willy Abreu, and Roman Anthony. You put Zaidan at second. You bring Christian Campbell up to play first. You trade Yoshida and Tristan Casas for Joe Ryan.
Thanks for the call, Tim.
Whoa.
That started with so much hope when you said Joe Ryan.
What happened to Trevor Story and Marcelo Meyer and Alex Bregman?
What happened to the Twins not being dumb enough to trade for Tristan Casas and...
Are you going to include Tolley in there or something?
No, that was his trade. It was two guys you don't want to get the guy you want more than anybody in the
two
world.
Two below average fielding
lefties. That's the greatest
lefties.
Trade in baseball sports history. If you pull that off, two guys you literally don't want anymore.
The Herschel Walker trade would be like, wow, even I thought I was impressive.
Tim, I appreciate the effort, but that was one of the worst trade ideas I've ever heard.
I'll give you my crap, and you give me your best player.
That's what that was.
You probably found whatever.
Was that me or Arkant?
That was you.
Oh. Sounded like me kind of doing an Arkant.
It did, right?
That was your Kermit the Frog doing Arkant.
Arkant, Mahomes,
I think
me,
Tim
blended.
Found whatever was left in Aaron Hernandez's flophouse.
Somebody asked me about being high the other day, and I've never been high. Oh, it was you.
Your wife?
No, I talked about how great you sleep if you have like half a gummy.
Yeah, Fitzy's trying to turn me into a
hold on. Can anyone else attest to
Dan? I will say you guys know that I am notoriously a night owl and have a horrible sleep schedule. Dan put me on to gummies. They've changed my life.
Wait, what kind of gummies?
Melatonin gummies.
Okay, no, that's not what Fitzy's talking about. No, Fitzy's talking about gummies.
A five
THC or whatever.
Yes,
I've never done it.
What do you think THC or whatever it is.
L7!
L7.
Oh, boy. Boy. And this has been brought to you by boomers.biz.
I've actually been told that it would help my IBS as well.
It'll help. I've told you before what would help that. If you just put collagen in your coffee every morning, it would regulate your digestion.
Collagen in my coffee. I'm going
Why?
Back to the phone lines. Oh, Rick in New Hampshire.
You're afraid of change, you New Englander.
What's up, Rick?
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Rick. Rick, do you put collagen in your coffee?
In New Hampshire. And, every game, every pitch. Are you guys watching the games?
Yes.
I get so excited when I see Durant up there.
Mm.
He's not quite as good as he was last year, but he's such an exciting player. He's got so much speed. It seems to me that a lot of the outs he makes are he hits the ball hard, often in the air. And he's a plus-plus fielder. He makes some extraordinary catches. I just hope they don't blow it and get rid of him.
Thanks for the call, Rick.
What drug was Rick on?
I don't know, but I don't want it because I don't like the way he presented himself there.
Boring.
What do you say, a plus-plus fielder?
I mean,
Is he watching the games?
Exactly. I was going to turn it on you, Rick. Are you watching the games? He's not a plus-plus fielder. He makes plus-plus plays.
Yes.
He also makes minus-minus plays with regularity. He's had a very... Jekyll and Hyde year out in left field where he's
Nor
kicking the
Jekyll.
Ball and all of that. I like Jaren Duran. Like, I think people are turning this into something it's not. Just because you're thinking of trading somebody, you're thinking of trading them to make your baseball team better. It's not because you hate him or you hate him. Yes, we would all like to do the trade of Yoshida and Casas and whoever else you want. Hicks. Let's throw Hicks in there. Yeah, that's an even better trade. If we can trade Hicks and Yoshida and Casas, and hell, we'll throw in Dustin May to get Joe Ryan, it's a great That's not how trades work. No. I mean, the GM just told us last week that he put everybody on the table in the minor leagues. If you believe him, everybody on the table, loaded up. You can have whoever you want, and they didn't want that. But you think they want Yoshida?
But he didn't say how many ever.
But it doesn't matter. You think that team's going to want Yoshida instead of all the prospects? Does that make any sense?
Of course it does.
On how many gummies do I need to take for that to make sense?
That's three, at least three.
That's a lot of gummies. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tony in Bridgewater. What's up, Tony?
Hey, first of all, as far as Anthony goes, I see Anthony as the next Kyle Yastrzemski. He has everything going for him. He's got the same temperament. Nothing bothers him. He don't get too excited. But as far as Yoshida goes, stop with the you can't trade them. That's what the Dodgers were saying last week when they traded me. How do we get rid of this bum? There's always somebody willing to take them, no matter what it's for.
All right, thanks for the call, Tony. Yeah, I don't know. The Red Sox can't trade for the Red Sox own players. I don't know how many more teams are out there that would be willing to trade for Yoshida at $18 million a year. 860 chimed in.
Mm-hmm.
Just got home and put on YouTube. Yes, we're available on YouTube and Twitch if you want to watch.
That's what we tell them every day.
Yeah, that shirt heart. It'd look good on my wife, bleeping dolt.
Wait a second. What?
Making fun of my shirt. Said it would look good on his wife. Probably would. It's a nice shirt.
I'm wearing a shirt that has like barbecue nonsense on it. Like I'm wearing a happy dad shirt. Would my shirt? Can you milk me, Greg?
207 also said, I think I can say this on the air. Someone get hard a J-bone. Can I say that on the air, Stiz?
That's okay.
Too late now?
Yeah, a little bit, Andy.
And is a J-bone just a joint? Is that what I would say about that?
No, I mean, I wouldn't call it that. But
oh, what is it?
A joint.
Didn't I just say that?
I don't think anyone uses J-bone.
Oh, that term. The texture is cooler than everybody else.
Oh, excuse me, sir. Is there any Mary Jane available?
Yeah.
617-779-7937. We're talking about the Boston Red Sox. They lost their first game in a while last night because the pitchers that their GM acquired aren't very good, but they did sign Roman Anthony for the next 8 years, so everybody should rejoice and be happy he's the face of the franchise. Up next, the face of WEEI Afternoons, Ted Johnson, joins the show, and it's time for our three-point stances.